Well, here it is, July 7th, and we're experiencing summer. The weather here in Rancho Santa Margarita and Trabuco Canyon has been wonderful. The kids and families are walking to the swimming pools, and the smell of barbecues in the evenings is in the air. Well, this morning I thought it would be good for us to consider the message in a book we seldom look at. It's the book of Philemon. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Philemon. I have observed through the years that many Christians live without much rejoicing, without much peace, without real freedom from guilt, a real freedom from being under the law, unsure about being accepted by God, struggling to be accepted. The problem, I believe, is a lack of teaching about the Christian's position. A lack of teaching brings a lack of awareness. The lack of awareness brings the life of uncertainty. So what we'll learn this morning from Philemon is the power of positional thinking, a book which reveals how God receives sinners and how Christ intercedes for sinners. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your commitment to us, for the privilege of calling upon you and trusting you with the fullness of our life. Whatever experience we may have, our heart's desire is to trust you. Help us to do that today with our circumstances of life, and help us to trust you now to teach us from the Scripture as we study the book of Philemon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now here's the book of Philemon. It's between Titus and Hebrews. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the agent, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, as my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed from you for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but now much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greet you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Philemon is a personal friend to the Apostle Paul. He's writing this very personal letter to appeal for Onesimus, a runaway slave. So we see the human experience here. Philemon, probably a wealthy slave owner, has a large enough home to have a church in his house, and Onesimus runs away. And Onesimus, by luck and chance, meets the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, in a predestined arrangement, gives Onesimus the gospel. Onesimus becomes a believer, a Christian, and Paul wants to send him back to Onesimus because that is right. Onesimus was wrong, and he must go back and make restitution. So Paul is appealing to Philemon, and he is doing that in intercession. So that is the human experience. But behind this, there is spiritual reality, a real drama taking place here. So let's place some characters. Philemon represents God the Father. Onesimus represents the sinner, you and me. Paul represents Christ as the intercessor. And so Paul's plea to Philemon in behalf of Onesimus is as the plea of Christ to God the Father for you and me. So let's approach this by asking a question. How does God receive sinners? And the first answer is in verse 12, where Paul writes, I am sending him back to you. You therefore receive him, that is, as my own. Just as you would receive me. That is Christ's prayer of intercession for us, that God the Father would receive us just as he receives Christ. That is our position. Just as you would receive me. That is unconditional. That is God the Father taking perfect delight in us and bestowing glory upon us. In Ephesians, we read we are accepted in the Beloved. And the Beloved is the Son of God. So this is our position. We have been received by God the Father just as He receives His own Son. That is an awesome position. So quit trying to be accepted. You are as acceptable to God as is Christ. And God is the receiver. We talk so much about the sinner receiving Christ, but a deeper and more important question is, has God received us? And He has, because of the intercession of Christ. And Christ, our Lord, is the only one who can intercede for sinners. The only mediator between God and man. And so, because of this position, we can be free from legalism, which is the attempt to be accepted by keeping rules and regulations. We can be free from moralism, which is the attempt to be acceptable by being good, our own righteous behavior. And we need to be free from those that bondage to legalism and moralism. And that only comes to us when we know we are accepted, and when we dwell on that. How does God receive sinners? Just as He receives His own Son. Now, Paul goes on to write another way that Onesimus is to be accepted, and it's in verse 15. As he writes, he says, perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. That is our position. God the Father has received us forever. That is eternal security. That is our position that frees us from this fear and concern. God has received us forever. As long as Christ is received, the believer is received. That is our position. Can't be earned, cannot be improved, cannot be lost, cannot be gained by any amount of human effort or struggle. No amount of human struggle achieves our position. We now have eternal life. That is how God receives the sinner, through the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we learn another way that God receives sinners, and it's in verse 16. He writes to Philemon in verse 15 about receiving him forever. 16, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but now much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Now, you've got to think about Philemon at this point, because he is probably quite angry at Onesimus and probably disappointed. Now, I'm supposed to take him back into my family as a brother. Yes. God receives sinners into his family. We have been made sons of God. We are no longer slaves, no longer sinners, but as a son. And this brings to us the biblical doctrine of adoption, which is throughout the New Testament. But our position is that God has received us into the family as a son, with all the full rights and privileges. When John wrote his first letter, he says, "Beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And that is what we are. What a position. What a freedom to know that he receives us as he receives Christ. That we have been received forever. That we have been received into his family. And now another way that Philemon, the book, teaches us how God receives sinners is being fully redeemed. Verse 17 and 18. "If then you count me as a brother, receive him as you would me." That's a repeat. "But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account." What is our record in heaven? It's the record of Christ. Where are we on the books of God's justice? We have the record of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are put on his account. In the intercession of Christ, he could say, "I paid for his sin." And he is free. He is on my account. My accountability counts for him. Could we have it any better? But I'm afraid that most Christians do not know this, do not dwell on their position, but on their own behavior. Get out from under it. God has received you in Christ. So let the book of Philemon teach us to get out from under the cloud of guilt, the struggle, the cloud of failure, the cloud of self. Know our position. And dwell there. Live the position. Live according to your position. You cannot lose it. And God is in charge of our position. Many Christians live like a man who bought a car. And as he was driving it, it stalled out. So he knew something was wrong. And he noticed that the windshield was dirty, so he got out and wiped the windshield, tried the key, and still didn't stop. He looked around and saw that it had a flat tire. So he pumped up the tire, turned on the ignition, didn't work. He knew something was wrong. But he wasn't looking in the right place, that he had no power. Living on our own, trying to be accepted, is not the power that enables us to live out our position. It comes from God himself. Knowing our position helps us a great deal. To dwell on our position and to refuse to be moved from that is the life we need. I'm really thankful for the book of Philemon and what is being taught here that gets beyond the human experience into this wonderful drama of how God receives sinners and how Christ intercedes for us, and that we are as acceptable to God as is our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we could never thank you enough from where you have taken us as runaway slaves to bring us back into your family with a position as sons, daughters, with all the rights and privileges of being in your family. Today, we thank you for this knowledge through the Scripture. We now pray that the Holy Spirit will just penetrate our lives with this truth. Enable us to live today then, free from guilt, free from failure, free from fear, free from the law, free from ourselves, and to live out our position in Christ. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.